It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
I recall a conversation one time with a Christian businessman who said that he had no interest in learning about last day events or predictive prophecy. His reason for his disinterest was that it was so much pie-in-the-sky stuff that had no relevance to his life today. Well, with respect, he was wrong. J. Robertson McQuilkin puts it this way, quote, "In the time before a prophecy comes to pass, it is designed to affect present thought and conduct, not to satisfy curiosity concerning the future," end quote. That means that predictive prophecy is relevant to how we live our lives here and now. James demonstrates the significance of predictive prophecy in living toward wholeness. In the context, James has been writing about the arrogance of planning our lives without considering the will or desire of God, James 4, verses 13 to 17. This was followed by the callous cruelty of the rich toward the poor, James 5, verses 1 to 6. Both of these are dysfunctional living regarding plans and stuff. James now speaks to how followers of Jesus should be living toward wholeness, particularly if they are subject to the abuses of the rich. As we re-enter at James chapter 5, verse 7, here's what we read. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming," in the Greek, "the parousia of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming, the parousia of the Lord, is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." James 5, verses 7 to 11. Three times, James refers to the specific future event of the return and physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Greek, the word is parousia. Each of these references to the future parousia of Jesus Christ is linked with living toward wholeness in our here and now. Here are three powerful keys James tells us. The first key, in verse 7, he writes, "Be patient." That's the Greek word makrothumeo. This word is a combination of makros, meaning big or long, and thumos, and has the sense of long spirit, not losing heart. It's the catching of your wind, your breath, for a long race. It's the mindset that takes the long view, remaining tranquil while waiting in the face of delay. James then illustrates his instruction with a metaphor from farming. "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient," makrothumeo, "about it, until it receives the early and the late rains." For the farmer, what is the motivation or resource for being patient? Well, it's the conscious assurance of the coming of the early and the late rains to water the crop. As with the cycle of planting, germination, growth, and harvest, it takes time. There is nothing that can be done or changed or shortened to change that cycle. The farmer is not in control of the process. Like the farmer, in God's hands, the process of trial is necessary, purposeful. It takes time, but it will come to an end. So in the same way as the farmer is to be patient, to take the long view, remaining tranquil while waiting in the face of delay, so we are to be patient. How do we dig deeply and not be overcome with hopelessness and difficult circumstances? Well, again, it's the conscious awareness of the parousia, the physical return and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is near. His parousia is near, so as Craig Blomberg puts it, quote, "We strengthen our hearts to keep hoping when the delay seems interminable, to keep trusting when God's timing seems questionable, and to keep working for righteousness when results seem meager," end quote. We find the second key in verse 9. James writes, "Do not grumble or complain." Why? Because the judge is standing at the door. Now, does "at the door" mean the judge is near in space, his physical proximity? Or does "at the door" mean nearness in time, temporal proximity? Both convey the assurance that the time for judgment is approaching when everything will be set right. Among others, those who have been arrogant in their plans and those who have been abusive with their wealth will be made accountable and dealt with accordingly. Those followers of Jesus who have suffered and have been abused will be vindicated and rewarded. So, predictive prophecy or eschatology, what will happen in the future, is relevant and empowering for the attitude and actions of patience, taking the long view in present difficult circumstances. Again, is this pie-in-the-sky stuff? So much fluff without substance? James says no. And here's the third key. He reinforces his call by drawing from the historical experiences of the Old Testament prophets. They stand as powerful and enduring witnesses to living toward wholeness, even when unjustly abused, oppressed, and persecuted. Consider some of these prophets: Elijah, who was persecuted by Ahab and Jezebel; Jeremiah, who was thrown into an abandoned well to die; Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, and others. Often we seem to think that we're alone in our suffering, but there have been and are multitudes of followers of Jesus who have experienced pain, abuse, oppression, and death, and they have been empowered to live toward wholeness by the conscious assurance that the Lord is coming. To this, James adds the example of Job, a man disoriented and oppressed by intensely painful circumstances and unjust suffering. In all of these things, one is pointed to the Lord, who is full of compassion and full of mercy. James 5, verse 11. He is coming to be present with us. There is one additional point I want to touch on briefly. Do these calls to patience, the long view and waiting tranquilly, mean that we do nothing about injustice and oppression in the present? I would argue that James calls us to active patience. This means the deep and abiding attitude and action of patience, the long view, empowered by the conscious certainty that the Lord is coming and will be physically present. This does not rule out the deep and abiding attitude and action of opposing injustice and oppression wherever and whenever it may be found in our here and now. On one hand, the antidote does not involve revolutionary violence or supplanting God's rule as a vengeance taker, which he will exercise when the Lord Jesus returns. But it does provoke us to be serious about pursuing righteousness in all of life. In the words of the prophet Micah, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." We'll have to continue this at another time.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.